On this extra episode of Friend Code, we got a Pokemon Direct with new Pokemon games! Hello everyone, welcome to a new episode of Friend Code. I'm your host, Michael Damiani, and on this extra episode, I'm joined by Brandon Jones,
yay,
Daniel Budworth.
Hello.
We are here early in the morning.
Yeah, you confused me because I'm sleepy and you said Pokemon games, and I was like, what? Oh, there's two of them.
Right. I can see how that would happen.
Technically, it works.
Oh, yeah. The actual direct happened at 6 a.m. Pacific time, our time. I think the reason they did this is because, as we saw, big announcement. And this it was 10 p.m. around 10 p.m. Japanese time is when this is happening.
Oh.
But it was also because it's 16 hours difference. Mm-hmm. So 6 a.m. in the morning, it's like 2,200 hours there. So, and then in Europe, afternoon time. So a little bit more friendly for them. But like, it's basically a time that everyone would perceivably be awake in the major territories.
They're catering most to the UK audience because they're
that
based
too.
On the UK.
That was a,
oh, no.
Bloodworth, there was a theory on Twitter about that that's why. It was prime time in Europe because of that. But as you might guess, new Pokemon games were announced. We're here to talk about them. But I just want to quickly explain what's going on here. You're like, whoa, why is there another new episode of Friend Code? You just had a Friend Code episode go up yesterday or something, depending on when you're getting this. And basically, after we had our monthly meeting, and this is something I've been brainstorming for a while, is that going forward, in order to address being more timely in like situations where big news drops, I've decided that if news drops between the recording of two episodes, I'm just gonna go in. We're going to do an episode about that, and it'll just be an extra episode. So Friend Code's still going to stay on its regular schedule. And whenever special things happen like this, you're just going to get an extra episode. And just consider it like a nice bonus stuff because bunch of ideas thought about, and this seems like a good thing. But, you know, I'm always open to ideas and suggestions for how we can even tweak it further. And then one other small thing is you might notice like this nice space here, and I brought it up on Twitter. I'm going to try and get a shelf here and show some Nintendo figures and some Nintendo memorabilia to kind of dress this up. So there's two updates. I'm trying to work on that. Hopefully get that in sometime in the near future. But yeah, with that out of the way, let's get into this. Pokemon Direct, 6 a.m. in the morning, just over 7-minute presentation.
Roughly.
This is the second time in a row that they've said roughly, and it was like more than that. It was definitely more than like it was 8 minutes, I think.
It's weird.
8 minutes. But Pokemon Sword and Shield. Yeah, gotta know those reactions. Gotta know your thoughts about what we saw. Yeah, Brandon, what are you swinging the sword there for?
I think everybody, I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, especially because I do not have a lot of experience with this series. Like, I'm just kind of I'm a child wandering through the world of Pokemon. played Red and Blue, played Sun and Moon, played a lot of Go, played Let's Go, didn't finish it. And I'm ready for this. And I think what was important about today is this transitional period of us being like, are they going to drastically reinvent it? No? Okay. And so now we just kind of settle back in and go, okay, this is going to be probably what was the safe expectation to have, where we are getting little tiny advancements here or there. You'll probably be like 8 hours into it and be like, oh, look at that. You know, like, oh, that little camera move. We haven't seen stuff like that before. Yeah. Little tiny adjustments, nothing revolutionary, but clearly something. I mean, even Kyle, who is kind of down on it, if you see in our reactions, he's not joining us today for Friend Code, but you can get his raw reactions.
Yeah.
I think is kind of where everyone's at, where it's like, I had expectations, but I'm going to play this. And I could see myself completely falling in love with this world. I love the European aesthetic. I love the countryside. I love the vibe of these big kind of, you know, what I'm hoping are these big kind of vast, you know, grassy fields, these kind of natural environments as we, you know, cross from these kind of big towns. And it look like these little kind of small hamlets that were in there. I like these little, love the train aesthetic. Like, I'm hoping you really get a sense of travel in this, because Sun and Moon was fun, but it was an island. And so I was not blown away by the size of Sun and Moon. And so I'm not getting full Game of Thrones vibes, but like you show me this this kind of big north south map, and like I do get the sense of a journey. You know, like we're it's gonna take a while. When you get to that town at the far north, when you get to the snowy mountains, you'll get a sense like, wow, I've really traveled maybe farther than most people do.
Yeah.
Where in previous Pokemon games, where they're like, wow, you've been to that city? It's like, yeah, dude, it's up the street, man. Like it's not it won't take you that long to get there. So I hope you do get a sense of the vastness of this map. Because in the very first shot that we see, you can see kind of hills, but you can't see snow, you can't see the next town. So I'm hoping as you go through this map, you can kind of get little peeks at the next place that you're going and little teases of, oh, I can't wait to get there.
The camera angles, the scale and scope they showed, you definitely get that sense that that's what they're going for. Real quick, before I ask you for your thoughts, Buttonworth, to clarify, they're talking about this, like, jolly, awesome, like, new map that you're, like, looking forward to. The Galar region is the official name for it, and it looks like it's based on the UK. There already are people who have flipped the map over, and it, like, matches up almost, like, one-to-one. Although, like, the people are pointing out the snow's in the wrong spot, but it's a fictionalized version of the UK, so... That, you know, Nintendo's description on their website for the Galar region is an expansive region with many environments set in the countryside with contemporary cities, thick forest, and craggy snow-covered mountains. The people and Pokemon live together in this region, and they've worked together to develop the industries here.
The industries.
You'll visit various gyms in the Galar region, aiming for the enviable and admirable title of champion.
Because you definitely get the gears. Definitely get a sense of just stuff being manufactured here. There's big business here.
Yeah, that one section
here
is like a factory town.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah. So, yeah, Bloodworth. Like, yeah. What are your takeaways from this?
I mean, I think it's funny because, you know, after we stopped our reactions, like, I think, like, I probably have a more positive impression of this just because I've never gotten that deep into any Pokemon game.
Okay.
So I was like, I haven't been worn out yet. So I was like, oh yeah, this looks really different to me. But it's because I haven't, I haven't exhausted any of those maps yet.
Okay.
But you know, I think that presentationally, that wide field of view and the way that like a lot of the map is laid out to where it's not just like a very, you know, straightforward grid, you know, to where you can see what's over that next hill a lot more clearly. I think that definitely gives it more of that sense of going on a journey, going on an adventure. We don't really see much of anything else. Like Brandon has noted that, like, you don't see the NPCs in any of these locations. It's very focused on, like, we're going to show you the world, and we're going to show you what fights look like, and we're going to show you, you know, the big stadium battles. And then we're not going to tell you anything else, really. Like, when you take a look back, it's like, yeah, we don't see any of the mechanics or how this game really plays out.
And I think that's a safe thing to do right now. Like, don't give us too much information. We see him in, like, this, like, you know, football jersey, you know, soccer jersey, and now we're already kind of speculating. So if they had a lot of NPCs, we'd be like, that guy's got shoulder pads. What does that mean? You know, like, we might be looking too much into that. But it did seem a little weird at the end when they said in the direct, he's like, you know, so what did you think? Like, we're just excited to do a lot of new things with this Pokemon. It's like, we haven't seen any of that. I don't know. All of the new stuff is stuff that we can kind of guess. Like, obviously, the camera. It's not really like a wide thing, I think. It's more just like, that, you know, it's like less at this kind of 45 degree angle looking straight down diagonally and more kind of a tilt to look outward. And so much of the other stuff, wondering if there's going to be Pokemon on the field or whether they're going to, you know, they're going to pop up in the grass or how that works.
I mean, it definitely looks really abrupt. They did show that. I think they did say
it's so quick though, you know, like,
yeah,
even the transition when she shows up and challenges her super quick. So we're just like, is it that quick? That would be interesting if they really sped up that process. You know, or if that was just editing,
I guess,
you know, or
because you said there made a good point that we haven't seen any NPCs on the map.
Yeah.
We're assuming they're just withholding them.
Yeah.
The sequence that we saw was definitely someone, the female trainer, crawling in the grass or like kind of sneaking through the grass and then triggering what seemed to be like the start of a battle encounter, and then it switched to like the silhouette of the of Pikachu.
It's only showing you three new Pokemon.
It is Pikachu this time, Chad. Yeah. You know, who's that Pokemon? but I think the difference is the one thing that I think probably leaning towards it not being the same as the previous entry, Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu and Eevee, is that you saw wild Pokemon out in the open, and you could choose to engage who you wanted to. And this one, I think it is going to lean towards more the random style, where you don't see the Pokemon on the field map, and you're just going to trigger a random encounter. And then that, like, that whole thing about that silhouette is like, that's the surprise. Like, who is it? Because that's a familiar one, and obviously they said there's going to be new Pokemon in here, and we're going to have fun seeing those for the first time being revealed in that fashion. So, yeah, we'll have to...
And I'm such a new dork that, like, we're seeing old Pokemon, but I'm like, oh, who's that? And it's like, no, that's Gen 5, Jones. Just calm down.
But like, I think it is interesting because it's like they show the starters.
Yes.
But every other Pokemon in that trailer is a Pokemon that we've seen before.
Yes, I believe so. I mean, almost all of them. The only one... that I'm just slipped my mind is the rodent looking one that fought Pikachu in that random encounter, because Pikachu was a random one. So
I mean, it passed the Kyle test. Kyle's eyebrows didn't perk up, and
but
anybody
we saw like
new.
Every other Pokemon we saw in there was like familiar faces pretty much. But yeah, you brought up the starting Pokemon, Bloodworth. Let's talk about that. We got what did you think about those three starting Pokemon?
I mean, I think it does. Going to Kyle's point, like it does sort of go back to this being very traditional, you know, and that there's a fire, there's a grass, and there's a water. Like, we're not starting with anything different than we usually start with. There's not, you know, like, we're not starting out with like a dark type or a fairy type or anything, like, you know, it's like that these are the ones, this is the core of getting the basics of Pokemon down, and it's not introducing any new types with those. So the Scorbunny, which is, you know, fire type. We didn't really see it do much fire, though, other than it's kind of on fire. It causes fire where it lands.
There's the feet.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Every time fire happened, it was from his feet.
They said, because the description for Scorbunny is a rabbit Pokemon that is always running about, bursting with energy.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
I wonder if it's going to be any kicks or something, flame
so
kick.
So it has a little bandage on its nose, and that's kind of a trope more than just Pokemon games, but especially in Pokemon games, it usually indicates they're a fighting type as well.
Oh, okay.
Or that they suggestive. It's not guaranteed, but it's suggestive that maybe, you know, it would also have like...
He's a scrapper.
Yeah.
And then Sobble, who is eventually figured out to... Oh, yeah, he's a chameleon for the water type. Just the little spits.
Gurgle.
Just dribbling out that water. Not very powerful in any way.
You'll see him level up probably and evolve.
And Kyle's favorite. Kyle, it's so funny. Well, Jones is all over Scorbunny, and then Kyle's like, nobody's going to like anything but Sobble.
Yeah. For those who didn't see Kyle's reaction, it felt more like a process of elimination, though, where he was just so disappointed with the other two choices.
Right.
It was just, he's like, it has to be Sobble.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like,
he's,
come on.
He's backed into a corner. He's got no other choice.
Grookey?
So, Grookey. So Grookey.
So, like, playing on Groot, that's kind of funny.
Yeah. Sobble, they said, the fish description, a somewhat timid water lizard Pokemon that shoots out attacks as it hides itself in water. So it hides in water. I guess that's probably when it can only activate its camouflage.
Sure.
Is in water. And then it said Grookey, a mischievous chimp Pokemon that is full of boundless curiosity.
Okay, so they used the word chimp there. Okay.
Yeah, and that came across.
You said chimp in the direct, I think, too.
I'm pretty sure they did. Mm-hmm. But that came across with the, just like running around, climbing up, you know, just having a jolly time up there. But just,
being
that completely offensive.
It would have been interesting if they had not gone chimp so much as koala, but oh well.
Yeah, and that makes it
bring Kyle up. Was really mad.
Yeah, Kyle seemed to be really offended by that one. And I'm curious to know, like, when we get a chance to talk with him, I forget where they came from, but there's like this artwork. I forget if it was supposedly leaked artwork or early concept art that shows similar type Pokemon as the three starters here. And people already comparing the final versions that we're seeing in the game versus these. And the one that whatever this other version came from, I'm sorry, I just glimpsed it before we ran in here to start talking about it. I completely forgot it exists. It looked more like, almost like koala-like, actually. I was like, huh, this looks more I'd more be inclined to play this than what I saw in the final version. So, but overall, yeah, how do you feel, good or do you feel disappointed by these like starting Pokemon?
I like it because, again, you know, Sun and Moon, I picked the water Pokemon, don't remember the water Pokemon from Sun and Moon.
Full disclosure, I haven't played Sun
and
Moon.
Yeah, terrible of me. I'm sorry, it's early. But that was kind of like a playful, it was like a seal, you know, so it was just like, it had an adorable vibe. And then I just love Charmander. There's a lot of pride there when I played, you know, not only, you know, Pokemon Red and Blue, but then Let's Go. And so it's fun to be into Scorbunny, and he's just kind of, you know, they said that Grookey was mischievous, but like I got kind of like a Bugs Bunny vibe from Scorbunny. And so I'm looking forward to possibly like a final evolution where he's just like very quick, you know, and hopping all over the place. Yeah, I'm way down with that. Pleased.
What about you, Bloodworth?
Big feet.
Yeah, I do feel like they're not as immediately strong as I'd say most starters. They feel almost like, I don't know, they feel kind of bland in a way. I don't know exactly the word I'm saying, but almost like generic. You know, it's just like if you were going to make a grass monkey, this is just about what you'd expect. It doesn't really do too much more to stand out. I think I agree with Brandon that Scorbunny probably is the most fun. Like the most, like if you put a silhouette of that up there, like you would get what that is.
Okay.
And probably will resonate the most over time. But yeah, I think, you know, the starters are always, you know, they're always a little bit babyish because, you know, you want them to evolve. But I think these are like probably that. I think that's the thing, is like they're more round. They're more babyish.
Yeah, they do kind of feel like little like puppy chew toys.
they're already made to be plushies.
Sure. And I wonder if there's like a fear at Game Freak where they're like, we do not want to rock the boat. You know, like if we're going to be making changes, let's not do anything severe with the starter Pokemon. And again, like what I keep going back to is just this idea of them being like, we have a lot of crazy new ideas. And it's like, not only, you know, do I not know what those are? It's kind of tough to guess maybe what those are from what you're showing us. And so I wonder if they wanted to get the starters out of the way to be like, that it's not going to be the starters. Like if you, it's probably going to be very easy for you to look at these three and pick which one you want. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not, you know, out of the realm of possibility to kind of understand like how that element is then going to work throughout the rest of the game. It's going to be later in trailers, going to be at E3. It's going to be at the next Direct where then we're going to show off these weird modes, specifically how battles work. I'm nervous it's going to be some crazy curveball, you know, some weird thing that they're going to change. That when we look back at this Direct, we're like, yeah, they didn't really show combat, did they? And we didn't really see that they're going to add this weird twist to it.
I still feel, yeah, Jones, I still feel there's potential for something like that to happen. Them to like reveal like, hey, yeah, we didn't talk about this all, but this is like the big hook or anything like that. But going on the discussion here, topic of like new Pokemon, starting Pokemon, that's all they talked about there. But we have some patron questions. Nice. And our first question kind of goes on the subject of like what new Pokemon we might see, and kind of goes along with like the starting Pokemon you saw, like whether your positive thoughts or your concerns carry over to what else they might have in store. So from first question from Tyler, hey allies, so the main message I got from today's Direct was that we are once again getting the same game we always get with slight differences here and there. I can't say I'm surprised, just disappointed. It left me not knowing if I want this game. Looking back on Sun and Moon, the setting and Alola variations were fun and different enough to get me excited to jump back in, and I ended up having an okay time. If you're in the same boat as me, what new things would you like to see within the established formula of Pokemon to get you back in? They asked like maybe
I'll
that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll jump in. My very number one thing with Pokemon and changing what Pokemon can be about is for Pokemon to interact with the world more. You know, like, you get a little bit of that in Let's Go, you know, with being able to ride. But it would be really great for there to be a world design that allows for puzzles and things that, you know, you even get a little bit of sense of that, like when you would, you know, have to like light your way through a cave or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mean before, beyond like TMs and stuff like that. Yeah.
But like having more of that kind of thing in the world. And again, they're starting off with the world. Make that world more of the star, I think. And that way, like, if you get to a secret area and like there's Pokemon that are only in this area that, you know, you need to figure out a way to get into, you know, you need to have the right types, or maybe you even need to combine the strengths of two different Pokemon types and their abilities, you know, to get up to this this space.
Bloodworth, that's I think that's a reasonable expectation to have, especially after I'll read it again, the last part of the description of the region. The people and Pokemon live together in this region, and they've worked together to develop the industries here. So that would kind of go hand in hand with that, Blood, if they, you know, were to show you that you're gonna, the Pokemon are gonna work with you to like solve puzzles, to do more than just here's Slash, you know, here's Flash to light up the cave, you know, stuff like that. And it reminded me of Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. There's a one sequence when I picked Pikachu Edition where Pikachu goes off on their own to like explore like an air duct, and then they end up, and I was like, oh my gosh, am I gonna play as Pikachu and do like Pikachu related activities? Yeah. And it doesn't quite go that far, but it just, you know, kind of teased me enough that it made me think I kind of might want this. And what you're talking about, Blow, was kind of like a little bit up that alley, I think. And I kind of agree with that. I'd like to see that.
It'd be neat to see that split up with the three types that you choose. So if I pick Scorbunny, then I gotta like burn the thing to get through the cave opening. You know, if I pick Sobble, I gotta like water it so the plants grow and I climb up them. You know, that like it's the same point in the game, the same barrier you have to get past, but depending on your core Pokemon that you've picked.
Jones,
mm?
I actually, in the vein of wanting them to get more ambitious someday, it's not happening here probably. I would love if your starting Pokemon puts you in a different starting area of the map.
Oh, sure. I mean, you look at the map and it's clear it's not going to happen. Yeah. You can almost just see the progression.
But like, if you pick like the fire starter, it's because like, you pre-pick it before you even get to like that point. It had to probably be earlier, but like you start off in like maybe the fire region. You know, you pick the water type, you're starting in the water region. You pick the grass, starting like, you know, some like plains area.
Yeah,
like that'd be kind of cool to have different paths based on that. But you never know. But yeah, no, I like what you said too, Jones. Like you basically, what you pick, you're gonna have like maybe some different puzzles up front. Based on that, until maybe you get access to all three again, and then, you know, things open up from there.
To me, the north-south map is really interesting, because like from my limited understanding of the series, everything almost kind of has like a loop to it. You know, like Red and Blue definitely has a very distinctive clockwise loop, and Sun and Moon kind of had that as well. And so I wonder if there's going to be any like backtracking, or if it's really you just keep going up and up.
That is my one concern with the map, is that it does feel like you go from here to here to here to, like, it just escalates, and it's like almost like, did we just see the whole game on this map? Because it is also very detailed, where it's like, okay, I see this village and their stadium. I see this village and their gym. I see this, you know, this little tower here off in the corner.
I get that vibe for certain portions of the map, Bloodworth, but as I was looking at it more closely, there is definitely a segment where there's a cluster of kind of areas and those gym, like those environments, that I feel like that might be the loop part. Is like there looks like there's four of them, kind of like just kind of in like almost a circle area there. One like a northwest, northeast, southwest, southeast, and maybe that's it. Like maybe you're like, hey, if you go like right, you're gonna go this order. Then if you go left, you'll go through this order. But everything else did feel stacked. Like you were gonna clear. There's a starting area. You're gonna travel north. And then I just see this as being potentially that, but it still won't even feel like the same, because it definitely looks like the most probably distinct looking map, I would say, because in terms of like being like vertical like that, you know, being like that style. But yeah, no, I think that's a valid concern though to have, that because I could be completely wrong. It could.
Well, hopefully the train is actually something that we can get on and can jump back and forth from one region to the next.
I would love that, because, would break that up perfectly. I like that, Blood. I hope that is true. Our next question comes from Professor Metal Gear. The Galar region definitely had vibes of London and UK. Everyone wants to point it out. Remember, it's good. It's good to have your region picked. You know, it's like, as a fan. Remember that the Industrial Revolution began in England, so it makes sense it would have that steampunk vibe. As for my question, are you all disappointed that it sounds like we are going back to the traditional gym progression over the change from Sun and Moon with totem fights and kahuna battles? I didn't play Sun and Moon, so I didn't have enough time to look this up before now. So do you remember this at all, Jones?
Yeah, the kahunas were... I remember with the kahunas, and I think this is a good way for Pokemon to evolve, is that in previous games, you'd go into the gyms... And you're like, what's going on, who am I fighting? And then you like get to the end, and then some rando pops up, and they're like, hey, I'm in this gym. And you're like, great. And then you beat them, and you're like, bye, I'll never see you ever again. And the kahunas you'd meet right away. You know, like you'd meet these characters that would be established as the best, you know, the Pokemon trainers to beat in that area. You'd do like quests with them, you know, and again, it's been a while. I'm not an expert at all in this franchise. That was just my, it had a little more context in the world. And that's kind of what I'm hoping is that we do meet these people when you get to these cities, they establish the big characters in these towns right away. Because one of the things that has always kind of irked me about the worlds that they create is how important I am, you know, like, and that seems, it's like in the song, it's like, I want to be the very best. Like it makes sense for them to put the spotlight on you. But at the same time, if they really want to expand these worlds, I'd love it if I get a sense that there's a lot going on that has nothing to do with me or nothing really to do with Pokemon specifically, not necessarily Pokemon, but like the conquest to be the champion isn't like what every single human being in this world is talking about, you know, like that there are other elements to be considered. And so again, makes me curious if not just from a technical level that they didn't necessarily get into NPCs, also from a story perspective that they're like, we'll get into that, you know, like we'll kind of show you what these people look like and how the governments of each of these districts run and maybe how these cities are different from one another. And I don't know. Is there like an inn at the crossroads, like Game of Thrones, you know, where like everybody converges?
Yeah.
And you know, and then it gets fed by hot pie. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm still so curious to see when they finally like put the population in place in these places. I think there's something to it. I think it's not as simple as they just didn't want to show. Like, I think there's a twist to it.
I think there's a lot of twists coming, or at least a couple of, you know, big shakeups that they're intentionally avoiding. But I don't know. I think it's way too early, actually, to be like, well, we're getting the traditional gyms. Like, those gyms looked kind of crazy, and I think that, like...
Yeah, I think the way that they were showing that, like, that walk into the stadium...
Yeah, he's walking so slow. It's like, something's going on here. Yeah, there's something...
At least in terms of presentation, it seems to be a very different thing.
Yeah. Going on this like topic of the Pokemon gym,
they also talk about being the champion in the website.
Yes,
and like is that? I don't remember anyone ever like really focusing in on that, or is that really has that been a thing before? Where you're like actually trying to be the champion of?
I mean, it's the whole process when you beat the gym leaders and you get your badges and you can go challenge the Elite Four and you become the Pokemon, you do become the champion at the end.
Okay.
That is the thing. But I think... I feel like it's
necessarily like up front. That's the main
This feels
goal.
Like
yeah.
It's more like going to be like a league or something. I get the vibe that this is like a lot more participation in it. And it's going to be more apparent from the start that it's a competition. I feel like it's going to have more of a competition angle, whereas... Pokemon's always been, aside from like your rival battles and trainer battles, it's been mostly jolly. It's more about like exploration and adventure versus, and you know, there's competitive spirit, but it's never been about like a sport. Super say like, it's called Pokemon League and stuff, but it never felt like it was...
Are there more people...
Yeah.
This is a Kyle question. Are there more people in that stadium than there are in the world?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Where are the houses for all these people?
It is kind of funny to see like six buildings and then you go in there and there's 5,000 people in the stadium.
Bloodworth, real quick, the gyms. Like do you hope that they maybe go away from the traditional style gym? Like in the interior, basically, what Brandon was describing earlier, if you forget, just, you know, maybe a few puzzles. It's themed after like an element, you know, it culminates with like the battle against a gym leader. would you like to see something that mix that up a little bit, or do you think it's fine as is, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely, you definitely need that sense. Yeah, if there's going to be that competitive element there, like, I think that's the best context for it. I don't really know what else, since they're showing the gyms, since they're showing the stadiums, you know, the Kahuna thing was obviously, you know, fit that setting. So, yeah, I don't know with the gyms unless, you know, there's some other thing thematically with the Sword and Shield. But, I mean, that didn't really seem to fit that theme, right? Like, again, yeah. Like, that seemed like more of a sporting event, as you said.
Yeah. We'll have to see. I'm curious. Yeah.
Medieval times.
Right.
Pokemon jousts.
Yeah, they come out in armor. And, yeah, like they have like events. Like it's not just fight one to one. It's like, okay, yeah, you come out in the Pokemon jousting event.
What I hope with the gyms, which would be nice, and I think just goes for anything in any Pokemon game or the Pokemon games that I've played, whenever I would go to a zone, I would do the thing and then leave and never look back ever. It's like, you're done. There's no reason to go back to this place. Maybe to shop or to heal up while you're in town, or maybe just, you know, go in loops to try to catch that rare Pokemon you missed on your first pass through. But it'd be fun to like go back to gyms, you know, like especially if there's some kind of sport, you know, some kind of blitzball thing that we haven't seen yet, that even when you finish the gym, like there's other activities here, you know, like this is kind of like the community center of each of these places, you know, where and so it'd be interesting if not only are there things you as a player can go back and do when you go into there, even after you've, you know, I would love to go back to a gym and see other people compete.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not in real time, but maybe just even in the background, you'd go in and you'd hear the cheer and you'd see somebody battling. And so you get a sense like, I'm not the only person that's interested in this conquest of the Pokemon world.
Right.
That there is someone was in here before me and someone will be here after me. And I'm just really good at that. That's what makes me exceptional in this world. Not that it's just me.
How cool would be, Jones, when you go back and walk past those stadiums you've already been to, like you outside you hear the crowd cheering from out there, and you like, how cool would it be, like you can buy a ticket to like a highly anticipated matchup. It's like, oh, that's like one of the best Pokemon trainers, I got a ticket to it, and you get to go there, and it's like you're not fighting in that stadium, you get to like sit there as a spectator and watch. That's like, make that whole sequence. That'd be kind of cool to do that.
And again, evolving NPCs. So it'd be fun, like, even after you've completely finished the game and you're just running around, you know, picking up your extra Pokemon or doing some side missions you never finished, and you're walking in front of one of those gyms, and, like, maybe one person is like, oh, that's the champion, you know? Like, really? Yeah. How do you know that? And, like, I saw him compete. He's really good.
Yes. And you know what, Jones, is one thing I just thought of, because we're going, the more bigger stadium thing. Like, you're wearing a uniform.
Yeah.
That keyed me. Maybe you're part of a team. Maybe it's not individual.
Yeah.
Maybe you become part of a Pokemon like league team. Yeah. And that could be the thing about going back. You got to show up for matches and stuff. Like it's a league. You got rankings and stuff. So oh my gosh, Jones.
Get on that train.
Possibilities with that.
Go back and compete.
Get a train.
Obviously outfits. You see him in another outfit, like that's, you know, like having customizing, you know, from Let's Go, like, you know, and I think Sun and Moon also had character customization, but specifically with the Pokemon, like maybe if there's, you know, hats we can put on that. Like, I think any tease of a different style, you know, to your character, I think hopefully there's a lot of detail there.
For sure. I expect a lot of customization this game. They've been going that direction. Our next question comes from Steven Sosa. Hey, allies. After watching the Direct, we noticed random encounters are back. While this will appease the more hardcore fan base, it's hard to ignore the quality of life changes that Let's Go brought with being able to see wild Pokemon before you encounter them. Do you think Sword and Shield will give you the option to turn off random encounters to see Pokemon, or would you even want that option? Love and respect.
I love having them out of the map, but no, I think they'll go one or the other.
Yeah, there's something weird to me, especially with Pokemon, that random encounters almost feels better. Like, they're that sense of, you know, again, like you talk about seeing the silhouette of, like, oh, what is it? You know, like, you just kind of, like, you want that anticipation there, you know, to have that reveal of the Pokemon. And if there's, like, some super legendary thing wandering around on the map, it's like, okay, it's kind of... it's kind of cool that, like, I want to run and get at it, but I think there's just, like, a little bit more of that sense of mystery and buildup when it's random.
I feel like if it... There was a comment I read about this that kind of was spot on for me when I sit back and think about it now. The appearance of so many Pokemon on screen in some parts of Let's Go, Eevee and Pikachu.
Makes it noisy, kind of, in a way.
And also makes hammers home the point you are playing a game. Like, that's not immersive at all. When you see, like, all the crazy types is, like, in a small area packed together. Right. It's like, and that's...
Yeah, like, if we got, like, some... If Pokemon really, and I think this may be where, you know, like Kyle was talking about, like it feeling samey. It's like if Pokemon was really like Breath of the Wild, crazy huge, and there were like herds of Pokemon, and like, you know, like, and it would just like all made sense in context, then yeah, I could see having them out on the map. But yeah, it is still, even though you get more of a sense of scale and more things in the distance, it is still kind of a smaller feeling map in a way.
Yeah.
In terms of what you can traverse, especially, because it's still like very much, here's a lane, here's a patch of grass, here's another lane. So
I think you can still make advancements, though, just in terms of like where are these things coming from. If like the whole idea is that like you're in tall foliage and that's where all the Pokemon live, it'd be cool if there were Pokemon like under the dirt or in sand or up in a tree. And so instead of just like, oh, you know, blurry screen, now I'm in a fight, it'd be neat if like you see the leaves rustle and you see a shadow come darting out of the tree or something. So like something to show that like, you know, the bird flew in from above you, or, you know, Diglett came up out of the ground, and something that kind of teases visually that happening, as opposed to just like, oh, the classic, you know, and like even from, you know, Final Fantasy and other games of that ilk, like, you know, Bravely Default and stuff.
I would love to see that, Jones. I'd like to see them add those little touches that make you feel like they more naturally showed up there, even though it's still going to be a random encounter. And if they were to leave them on the map, I wish there was just a way to make it more about like a little bit more effort in like tracking them. Like, it was more of like you had to put some effort into, you can just run up and like approach it. I mean, some try and run away, but I mean, you have to go through some sets. Like Blair said, like a legendary just like hanging out there in a cave or something, or flying your head. It's like, no, you have to like get some right tools or stuff or whatever to help track it down. And then like, you know, wait for maybe weather condition, like all this stuff that leads up to, and like you have notebooks and stuff like your Pokedex, you know, and you it's like a quest essentially. It would be nice to make certain aspects of that integrated that way. But I don't know. What were we going to say before?
Just one other thing that I enjoyed in Let's Go was there was a little bit of fear, actually, because sometimes like something would appear and just rush you. And so like seeing the blades of grass, like, ah, what is that? And then it's like, oh, okay, it's just, you know, a pretty cute basic Pokemon. Yeah. But like it was exciting. Like there were a couple moments where something would catch me off guard. And it'd just be nice, especially with new Pokemon that I've never seen before. You know, to, you know, there is kind of a dullness that I think sets in with you just like going in circles, going in circles, going in circles. Oh, you know, it's exciting when you see the new thing, but it'd be fun if Scyther like, wah, you know, like attacks you, you know.
I mean, hey, watching the anime and stuff, that type of stuff happens in it.
Yeah,
like Pokemon will attack Ash, and it's like, hey, what if they like, you know, actually attacked you as the trainer as well? It's like, you know, it instills a little bit of fear, but also like, like, there's stakes. You can't just approach, but even when you got your own, it's just, it's part of the job. It's part of the occupational hazard there. Next question comes from, not from Wario64, who just tweet just came right over the person's name to cover up. So from Varen, I'm not sure if this is that much of a controversial opinion, but I don't feel much looking at that trailer. I honestly think if this was any other franchise, it would get slated instantly. Imagine if that was the next Final Fantasy. And I don't think they can use the hardware as an excuse either, comparing it to when you compare it to something like Breath of the Wild. Do you think the Pokemon franchise gets treated too leniently due to nostalgia? Kyle Bossman sure did not.
I don't know that I would call it nostalgia, but I think that, yeah, I think there's a certain level of expectation for what a Pokemon game is. And I think that's one of the, you know, they even kind of mentioned it. Like, they're almost like afraid of making Pokemon too different. It's like, yeah. we're gonna have the traditional stuff in here, mm-hmm. but we're also like branching out. And so it's this weird balancing act that, like, it's funny that they're so afraid of deviating from the formula.
It is, yeah. It feels like a very slow, very sometimes not. I don't want to say painful. This is very slow. Process of evolution when it comes to Pokemon.
Yeah.
Very lack of a better word there. Change does not come easy for this series. It is mostly quality of life changes that you get, but the core design, the core principles really don't drastically change that much. And this is one of the few series I see infamously get a... Each iteration, basically, you'll see the calls for... It's just the same game again. It's just the same. Like, it was this... And for a long time, Call of Duty. These were like the two franchises I feel like yearly they would get called out. It's just the same game.
Not what, a name I thought we were going to bring up today, but here we are.
Back at Game Trailers. Right. Every year in comments on every major message board, it'd just be there'd be a large vocal group saying that this is the same game. What are they really doing differently? Why do we reward this?
In a way, it ain't broke. Yeah. You know, it's like it's not hurting sales. And I was not into Let's Go at all. Like, when I saw Let's Go, I was like, all right, I can skip this. Not because I'm offended or disappointed or anything. It's just like lots of games to play. Maybe this is one I can leave on the shelf and just get impressions from people. And then it was like the holidays. I was like, oh, I'll get it for the holidays. Maybe play it, you know, when I'm on vacation. And then once you get in it, you know, once you get like 5 hours into one of these games, you're like,
yeah,
oh, man, this is I love it. I love my team. I just want to meet all of these new Pokemon, and so it sucks. Are we being swindled? Like, I don't know. Like, I think it. Yeah, I think there's a. I think there is a fear.
Yeah, I don't think there's any sense of being swindled. But I think it's like because Pokemon, like even beyond like normal RPG, has all these other things that it has to account for. Right, it has all of these different creatures that they have to create.
Yes.
It has all of these different types to balance and moves to deal with, and having to transfer stuff over from Pokemon Box. You know, there's just like all of this like spreadsheet level details that go into a Pokemon game that are pretty much behind the scenes hidden that I think makes it difficult for them to figure out how to change just like the game structure and the level design and the, you know, how the fights end up playing out, because they want to, you know, not, you know, completely destroy like how a lot of these systems work and how people are familiar with them.
I agree with that completely, Bloodworth. I think that's very true. I also think one thing to keep in mind as well is that to my best of my knowledge, no one ever came out and said that next Pokemon game was going to be radically different, like officially, in official capacity. They did not come out, hey, our aim for this is to innovate.
Oh, yeah, take just all us weirdo fans.
Whereas, like, you know, with Nintendo, with Breath of the Wild, they were, like, advertising for a long time, this is going to be a major difference. I think the key difference in this that situation was they'd promised that before, didn't quite deliver on it. And so, you know, this kind of gets like been thrown around in like Nintendo games for a long time, is that they innovate, like they'll have a nice gimmick to them, but more or less at the end of the day it's like the same game experience. And then, you know, they do something with Breath of the Wild, they do try and, you know, do something a little bit different than Odyssey. We're seeing they're doing with Fire Emblem with the Three Houses stuff, and you know, there was kind of a pattern here with at least the Switch and the games coming out from Nintendo on it, that they, you know, there was this like feeling, I guess, that people got caught up in that maybe they're going to be more bold. Maybe they're going to be more innovative. But again, that's Nintendo first party. That's not Game Freak. And nowhere did Game Freak ever say that. Nowhere should you, like, that's not Game Freak's MO. And I think from what we saw and what we will probably see for them, in their minds, they are pretty big changes to them. Yeah. They are like the biggest risk they're willing to take. And anyone who's looking for something more, I feel like that's, you're just not going to get that until, you know, either just a changing of the guard or something goes terribly wrong with one of the reasons. They finally do not sell millions of copies and bombs or something. It's like, gut check moment. What are you going to do, Game Freak?
Yeah. And I think that's kind of maybe what today was about, was just this like, are they going to do it? Oh, no. Okay. It's all right. It looks kind of what I expected and looks similar in style to some of the games they've done before. And so I think, you know, here's kind of the structure of this game. Here are three characters. You know, one of them hopefully you'll fall in love with. The weird stuff we'll get to later. And that might have been too much today to digest. Right. You being like, not only am I upset that, you know, it's not innovating in the ways that I want to, now there's this weird minigame thing, or now there's this weird, like, royal house structure between different cities, or I don't know. Like, whatever that is, once we find that out at E3 or in another Direct, I think we'll kind of be prepared because people will kind of be able to process that, okay, this is not the Pokemon game of my dreams.
Yeah.
But I am going to play it. No question.
I do gotta apologize. I asked the wrong question first. We were talking about like Star Pokemon and how that might apply to like different designs for the new Pokemon. The question I asked at that point wasn't actually about new Pokemon. It's a little tired. But the final question we have, which was supposed to be our first question.
Got it.
And you know what the subject's about, from Tyson. There were a fair amount of older Pokemon in the Direct, but no Galen variants to them.
Right.
To me, the Alolan variants were a neat idea
and
a good way to bring back the old Pokemon, but fitted with new regions. Do you think variant Pokemon were just another one and done concept? Or do you hope they'll come back?
I imagine they'll come back. They were in Let's Go. The Alolans still popped up.
Well, I mean, the Alolans popped up, but like, new region. Like, well, Galt, like, you know, one and done in that Alolan region was the only ones that got that treatment. No other game will get that treatment.
No, I think they will.
I would like to.
I think that, again, that could be one of those things that they just aren't showing off yet. I think with the distinct areas, with the thematic changes as you go through the map, it would be cool to see not just, you know, Galen, but like, okay, like in this area, you're going to get, you know, like Pokemon that are in armor. In this area, you're going to get a Pokemon with a freaking top hat and a monocle, you know. And this,
oh, I hope so. You know? I keep thinking of the Great Mouse Detective. I don't know why, but I want a mouse-like Pokemon with a long mustache, like just a very refined.
You know, and then like in the, you know, like say you go to that ice area, and you get like a Torchic that's in like a little parka, and you're like, I gotta stay warm.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this. I like having like multiple variants within the game as well, based on the region. That would be a pretty cool idea.
Those mines that have a little miner hat kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so cool. I have a personal quick question. Is it so the region's the Galar region? So is it calling it Galen? Correct.
I would assume so. Okay, that makes sense.
Just double checking on that.
We're doing it. We're locking it in.
Yeah, we're making it up as we go.
Our lock in. But that was a lot packed into 7 minutes. Certainly a lot to talk about. We gave it our own scores and everything on the presentation back in the live reactions if you want to check those out. I'm just still that I can't wait to see it again. I want to see, because I feel there's more to this. I really think there's they haven't lifted up.
Yeah, it's very
the veil has not been completely lifted, and I hope and expect E3 to be a big blowout for them, where they'll show off some of those secrets. And I don't know if you have any final hopes and expectations.
Oh
for this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. Kool-Aid.
Okay. So we got these big cities, high walls. You know, you got the train that's going in between them, and definitely a different aesthetic between these different towns. And that's been done before, obviously, like a different flavor when you get to these different towns. But I can't get out of my head. It's based on the UK. The map looks like Game of Thrones. It's swords and shields, like just combat comes into mind, just like conquest. This idea of like that not only like maybe they're not at war now, but maybe they once were. Hear me out. Not in like again, not like blood soaked battlefields kind of war, but like
territory battle.
That there was trade maybe wasn't as common as it is now. Maybe we're in peacetime, but like there was a little bit of turmoil back in the day. And also because they talk a lot about industry, you see the gears moving, and they talk about how you know the Pokemon were a part of that. Like, we used the Pokemon to make this our town great and to help it build. And I wonder if the different towns have different ways that they did that. Like, maybe some towns, they really view Pokemon as equals, and the Pokemon are like maybe running shops, or you see them out and about, and maybe there's other towns that kind of don't hold them in such high esteem, and they're like, no, oh. you're more like cattle, you know, like we ride you, we put you to work in the factories, yeah. you know, so you can kind of get a different vibe, and then maybe those are represented by like rulers. Like, I wonder if maybe not a king and queen, but I wonder if we're gonna get like, you know, like a duke, you know, like someone that's in charge of, you know, like a. Because I don't think we've ever really had that. We have like mayors kind of that you meet sometimes. Sometimes the gym leaders are kind of viewed as like the head of each yeah. area, or like the most important person that you meet in each town. But it'd be interesting if you kind of have to befriend these people, and then you're like, okay, well, cool. I beat the gym leader and I finished your quest, and I'm going to go on to that town. And they're like, oh, those people. Well, you know, we don't like those people because they're mean to their Pokemon, or they just, you know, are super, you know, touchy-feely with their Pokemon as far as like, you know, shaking hands and you know being respectful and even keeled and everything. And so I wonder if there's going to be kind of not like, you know, like political classism, but like, you know, just this approach to like, maybe, you know, these people in these different areas not only view Pokemon differently, but that's integrated into how that city came to be. And so it's really hard to kind of shake them up and change their ideals because we've been like this for hundreds of years.
I like this. I like having each area having more backstory to them, essentially, like this. I really like that. What a Bloodworth. Any final hopes, expectations you'd like to add of the sea in the future?
I mean, I think I went pretty far out on a limb anyways with the environmental stuff. But, yeah, I'm curious about the legendaries and how they'll tie it into Sword and Shield and... you know, like we have, you know, wolves in armor, you know, like that was, what are these things going to look like? And how are those, yeah, how are Sword and Shield going to make sense thematically, I guess? Because right now they're cool names, or one of them's a cool name. and it, you know, and
shout out to the Shield fans out there. You know what I mean? Those people are like, I'm getting Shield.
And it like, it alludes to the, you know, to the setting, to like the medieval aspect of that setting. But otherwise, we don't really see anything along those lines yet. So yeah, so it'll be good for that to make a little bit more sense, I guess.
All right. And did not get my... I told everyone before the stream, for those of you who haven't watched the reactions have watched reactions, then, but for those who haven't, I can clarify. I said there's going to be like reference to a new Switch model, 5G. And a camera. Didn't happen. I said before. I said it's not happening. So I was having fun with everyone at that point. But yeah, I think the league aspect is what I'm like very curious about to see. Like what actually will be entailed with gym battles, and what is a big stadium fight? Like, is that, or competition? Is that more involved? Yeah. Is that different? What will that be?
Do you do plays to appeal to the crowd in any way?
Oh yeah. Like a move will like make like, yeah, almost going like a Paper Mario style, like Thousand Year Door. It's like you pick this move, it might one shot him, and like I'll get the crowd more excited for this. But if you pick this other move, or sorry, you pick a move that one shot him, it'll be boring because they'll be dead in one shot, and like, or sorry, passed a knockdown in one shot. Whereas if you do like something that's like more flashy but doesn't do as much damage, crowd will get more worked up, and like, yeah, think about like the next three Pokemon in their lineup that you get to take out, and it's like if you get that like cheer buff or something, it's like, yeah, it's like more, you know. Yeah.
Ooh, because, boy, I doubt it, but, like, we do, you know, they have added in Sun and Moon the idea that's like, oh, you know, your Pokemon almost got taken out, but they stayed in there because they want to make you happy. You know, you would build up this kind of relationship. It'd be interesting if they start doing that in the opposite way, that you could kind of psych out your opponent and, like, instill, like, fear into the heart of the Pokemon. It's like, ah, like, all nervous if you get the crowd on your side. Like, yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Doubtful, but interesting.
Interesting to see. But yeah, I think that's talked plenty. I think that's going to wrap it up for the Pokemon Direct recap and discussion there. I want to thank you both for joining me this early in the morning. I want to thank everyone who submitted questions in such a timely fashion. I had short notice, but thank you for working with us on that. That's made it way easier to plan for this episode and stuff. And, you know, sometimes when it's going to, this is probably what's going to be if we're going to do like reactions or sorry, going to record an episode so close to big news dropping. Unfortunately, normal episodes, the week we're recording, if you're a $5 and up patron, I do a call for your questions to submit on a patron post I make that week. I'll let you know what the topic is. Keep your questions related to that. That works in that structure when I have time to prepare for it. But in this one, it's just we're watching it together or we're seeing the news happen together. And I need, you know, those timely questions from you. So thank you to everyone who's on top of that, patrons and stuff. That really helps out and stuff. And I think it makes every these episodes much stronger and stuff. And also, the $5, if you're $5 and a patron, you get episodes of normal episodes of Friend Code early when they go up on Sundays, and they're up for public on Tuesdays. But we're still figuring out with the what we're going to do with these extra episodes. For this one, I believe that we're just going to get it up, and it's going to go out for everyone at the same time. So regardless if you're a $5 and up patron or not, we'll see how that goes. As always, you know, let us know in the feedback and the comments how you feel about that. It's not final. You know, we can always make adjustments and stuff like that. And, you know, we're still trying to figure this out. So hopefully you like this instead of, like, waiting extra time for us to talk about this on Friend Code, making it a bit more timely. I saw that feedback quite a bit that people wish that they didn't have to wait sometimes, like, almost 2 weeks, like, if news dropped right after recording. It's like, we're not hearing about that for 2 weeks now, and it's Nintendo-related news. This is the current solution we've come up with, so let us know how you feel about that. But, again, yeah, thank you for everyone submitting your questions. Thank you to both of you for showing up so early in the morning.
Thank you, Damiani, for hosting this, getting this conversation started.
Pleasure. And until next time, may the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.